In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We're getting close to, believe it or not, we're getting close to Lent. And we always look at Lent as something to either joke about or complain about or see in a very different light. And I'm not surprised at that, because quite often we don't really know what to do with it. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what it means. And if you're going to focus on it being a restriction of our food and a restriction of diet and a restriction of lots of things, then of course it's going to be frustrating. And of course, when you have one thing after the next, it does become difficult. And if we don't benefit from it, then we realize that it's something we just don't want to do. But Lent is supposed to be a time when we have a spiritual practice and an intensity of spiritual practice. It's a very particular time of the year where we focus on ourselves, focus on our relationship with God, and focus on how we're going to deal with it. So really, it is a very important and a very beautiful journey. So I'm sharing this with you today because I want you to think about it before it starts, so you can be in the right place for it when it happens. One thing we want to do during Lent is to exercise being with God daily. Now, I know that we can sometimes say that as a matter of rhetoric, and sometimes we can think that either we're doing it or we can't do it. But realistically, it is a reality in our lives. We actually can be with God daily. It's not this spiritual myth that we just share or we live. It's something that becomes very, very real in our lives. But the question arises, why do we want to be with God at all, if in fact daily? It's not just something we have to do. It's something we need to want, to desire. It's something we need to put before God and say, Lord, this is a desire I have. This is something I want to do. This is something I want to live. And so therefore, I want you to help me do it. But until that point, it will just become another exercise, another formality, another ritual. The only reason we are going to want to be with God on a daily basis is if we have a relationship with Him. Otherwise, it's going to be conditional. And the condition is usually going to be, well, what do I want from God? It's like your relationships. If there's someone you love, someone you care about, a good friend, a colleague, someone you're involved with, someone who's actually there in your life, and you care about genuinely, that is why you want to spend time with that person, whatever kind of relationship it is. But if it's just someone who serves a certain purpose, you know, someone who does something for you, or someone you need something from, or someone who pulls strings in a certain way, or someone who provides a certain service, then you will only contact that person at that time for that purpose. And that's all. And surely there is nothing that we are always going to need. There's a limit on everything. You're not always going to need a favor. You're not always going to need something to be done for you. You're not always going to need someone to talk to someone for you to do something. You're not going to need someone all the time. We sometimes have this, and I've spoken to you about this before, we have this relationship with God, and it's on the basis of a vending machine. It's a vending machine model. You know, you can see vending machines in corridors, and you'll walk past them every day, unless you want something in it. The minute you want something in it, not only do you put coins in, you actually invest in it, and then you choose what you want, but then you take what you want, and you walk away. And that's the way we sometimes deal with him. We can walk past him all the time. But the minute we want something, we're there. We're putting time in. We'll be at church. We'll be praying in our homes. We'll be reading our Bibles. We'll be reflecting. We'll be dedicating our lives endlessly to him. But the minute we get what we want, we just walk away. And we can't really be blamed for that, because realistically, if you don't want anything else from him, then why would you stay there? What purpose does it serve? So the relationship is important. God wants to guide us. God wants to be our companion. God wants us to be by his side. As Lent comes, I want us to think of those 55 days as a time, a period of time, and the good thing is that it's a limited known period of time. You know when it starts, you know when it ends, and you know what you can hope to achieve. So during that time, dedicate yourself to wanting to learn from him. Dedicate yourself to wanting to be with him. Dedicate yourself to having a relationship there and then. Not just because you want something, because all you really want is that relationship. Lord, I want to come closer to you. I just want to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want to feel that warmth. I want to feel that comfort. I want to feel that relationship. And it can't just be words, because we say a lot of words. And it can't just be sporadic things to do, because sometimes we feel like that for a day, and it's genuine. It is absolutely genuine. But then life takes over. And when life takes over, we get busy with other things. We start to focus on other things. In Psalm 32:8, we read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. That's a beautiful promise. God says, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you the way you're going. Now, so often, we don't know how we're going in our lives. So maybe just coming Lent, we should dedicate to saying, Lord, okay, I want to spend a good period of time with you because I want you, according to your promise, to instruct me and to teach me the way. And more importantly, he says this, I will guide you with my eyes. What does that even mean? I will guide you with my eyes. How does God guide us with his eyes? We're here at the human level, and we have lots of things in front of us, obstacles, high and low, some slightly transparent, some completely opaque. We can sometimes see through them, we can sometimes see around them, and often neither. They're just an obstruction. So God is at a much higher level. He sees the world from a very different perspective. That perspective is the one that's going to be useful to us. That's why he says, I'm going to guide you with my eyes. I'm going to see your journey because I have that perspective. I know where the road's going. So I'm going to guide you by saying, okay, left a little, right a little, start, stop, hang on, wait. Just wait there for a minute. Just stop for a minute. Okay, start again. And that's not just because he wants to make our lives difficult, not just because he wants to control us. He's not having, you know, some fun time playing with us like string puppets, saying, you know what, guess what? Look what I can do to these guys. Look how I can move them around. Look how I can control them. He doesn't want to control us. He doesn't want to move us around. If he wanted to, he would have made us in a very different way. But when he instructs us from above, it's because he has that vantage point. And he says, I know the way. I'm going to guide you along that way. I'm going to teach you the truth with my eyes. Now, looking through the eyes of God is so much more important and so much more relevant. For two reasons. First of all, the vantage point is so very different. And secondly, there is a clarity. God's eyes don't play tricks. God's eyes aren't tinged or tainted by anything else. God has an absolutely perfect view of life. You know, sometimes you could look at a person and not quite know what to make of it. Is this person good? Is he bad? Is she honest? Is he dishonest? We don't know. Sometimes you look at a situation and you don't know how to judge it. And we get into this dilemma of, what do I do now? But that's because we're looking through our eyes. If we spend enough time with God and we say, Lord, please teach me. I want you to guide me. I want to be able to hear your voice. Now, it sounds difficult, and it sounds like a long, long journey and a long, long process, but it is absolutely real. God doesn't make promises he doesn't keep. When he says, I, the Lord, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you, that's in Isaiah 41:13, then that's what he's going to do. He's not only then going to guide us with his eye, he says, okay, I know that you're going through difficult terrain, so what I'm going to do is not only be at a distance guiding you, but I know that you have difficulty in your life. So what I'm really going to do, I'm going to hold your hand along the journey. I'm going to bless you with my presence in your life. I'm going to reassure you by being by your side. Don't make the journey on your own. Don't look for things that you can't see because you have a different vantage point. I'm going to be your eyes, and I'm going to be your support. I will hold your right hand. Fear not, I will help you. Don't be afraid. But for us to actually make use of that, we need to be able to be with him for long enough. We can't just have fleeting encounters. It can't just be walk past him in a corridor, brush by him in a crowd. It's got to be, Lord, I'm here. I know you're journeying with me. I can feel you holding my hand. I can feel you directing me through your eyes. And I want to follow this journey with you just a little bit longer. Because I find reassurance in it. I find comfort. I can't find confidence. I feel that I'm no longer shaky. I'm no longer uncertain. And even if I am, because you're holding my hand, I feel comforted. I'm sure we've all had the feeling of going through a difficult situation, but feeling and realizing that there's someone there with us. Whether that someone is a human someone who's actually walking by your side, or someone in your life who you can actually remember and relate to, or the divine someone who is God in our lives. Whichever it is, it's such a comforting feeling. One of the worst feelings in the world is to feel alone. And our Lord, when he spoke to his disciples, said to them, you will be scattered each to your own, and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone. And that's the feeling we need to have. And Lent can be that wonderful feeling, because it is through Holy Week as we approach it, and through even the cross, but ultimately through the resurrection, where we feel God closest to us and by our side. To the extent that he actually took flesh, came and dwelt on this earth, walked this journey along by our side, holding our hand, and giving us a perfect example. And not only an example, giving us victory. We almost had a role reversal. Rather than him walking by our side, he said, listen, I'm going to come and walk your life. I'm going to live your difficulties. I'm going to experience your tragedies. I'm even going to ascend to your cross. I just want you by my side so you can see what I'm doing. And more than that, when I rise, I'm going to raise you with me. And that's the journey. He switched it. He switched the journey from him being by our side to him actually taking the difficult steps and walking in our place. Rising in our place and raising us with him. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this wherever you go is important, because it works in two different directions. It means if you are on a righteous journey and you are going through treacherous terrain, then he is there where you go, wherever you go, to support and help you. So if you're walking a path of righteousness, he is there to help you and hold your hand in the difficult bits. But even if we're walking a path of unrighteousness, if we stray, is God there with us? Yes, of course he is. Absolutely. He's not enjoying it. He's not liking it. He's not accepting it for us. But it's our choice. And he is there with us. And the minute I feel this is not my place, he's there to help me out of it. So it works when I'm walking righteousness, because it's so comforting. But it also works when I'm walking my own difficult path away from him. Because the minute I come back to myself, I awake, I call on him, he's there to get me out. Now, don't misunderstand me. He's not blessing that journey. He's not happy with that journey. He's not satisfied with that journey for us, but because he loves us, he doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't abandon us. And he's always our way back. That's why he says that he is the way. You know, the way we sometimes envisage, the way being, are that beautiful path. But the way goes through the beautiful terrain, but also goes through the very difficult, tough, rough, dangerous terrain. He is still the way through that. And that's when we meet him and desire him most significantly. He is the way through that. And he's willing to be there for us. St. Ephrem the Syrian says, happy is the man in whom there is love for God, for he bears God within himself. Happy is the man in whom there is love for God, because he bears God within himself. Do we bear God within ourselves? Do we love him? And what is the indication of loving him? Do we give our lives to him? Do we thank him for being our inspiration? What is the role of God in my life? Is he just, as I said, a vending machine? Is he just a means to an end? Or is there a love for him, and so therefore I hold him in my heart? He's inside me, deep inside me, where nothing can take him away. Sometimes God is with us, but we keep him quite superficial. We keep him on the surface. So anything that comes along can actually damage this relationship. Just blow it aside. But when God is in our hearts, deep within, held within there, supporting us from within, nothing can take him away. Who can reach into my heart if God is there? Who can take the place of God if he reigns? Unless I give that person, that situation, that place. So if I say, this place was the place of God, it's now yours, then I give it away. But if God is in me, in my heart, reigning over me, nothing dares to approach. And that absorption comes over time. We sometimes want to have an immediate encounter now, suddenly think, I've met God. That's it. Everything's done. That's it as a starting point. And we often feel that if we don't take that experience and build upon it, then it just doesn't go anywhere. It's a fleeting thought. It's a nice feeling. It's here today, gone tomorrow, done. But when I take that and I absorb it further and further, further into my life, into my heart, into my actions, into my choices, into my words, into the people I'm with, into my relationships. God is not just some sort of very thin, very fragile veneer that anything breaks through. God is at my core, absorbed into my heart, absorbed into my life. So it can't go away. That love, that presence is there. God cannot be removed. It's like putting a sponge in a colored liquid and having it absorb that liquid. If you pull it out very quickly, you might get a light covering. The longer you leave it, the more it's absorbed. When it's fully saturated, if you cut that sponge at any place, you get it totally soaked with that liquid. They're inseparable. And even if you squeeze it, there's always an element left in it. So, if we go through life and we're willing to give God time to be absorbed into our lives, then he will be there for a long, long time. And that's why it's important during this Lenten period to soak in God, to welcome him in. not just to meet him superficially, not just to be happy with him because he's there today, now, but because, as St. Isaac the Syrian says, if I love God, then I bear him within me. Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, verse 30. Now we are sure that you know all things, and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. The testimony of the disciples to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're sure. Now? After 3 years? What were you doing before that? And that's why for us, don't be too disappointed if it's taken us a long time to come to this realization. Don't be too disappointed if it didn't sink in from the very first attempt. Because even with the disciples, who with our Lord day and night, face to face, they saw the incarnate Word, they lived with him, they ate with him, they journeyed with him, they saw his miracles. After so long, turned and said, now we know. It's taken a long time. But it's okay. God knows that it takes us time sometimes. But once you know, once you've engaged with him, once you're sure, once you've absorbed him, once he's in your life, you feel this comfort. Now we know that you have come forth from God. Not only that, we know even more. We turn and say, Lord, now we know that you are God. That you are sovereign over our lives. Lord, now we know that nothing and no one can touch you in our lives unless we become careless. And we don't want to become careless. We don't want to leave ourselves. We don't want to lose our path. It's taken us so long to get here. It's taken us so long to leave ourselves to sit and soak and absorb your glory and absorb your presence and take you into our innermost parts. It's taken so long. I don't want to lose that, Lord. I don't want to leave that behind. There's going to be something else that comes with reassurance. Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. You know at what point he was saying this? At the point where they were standing there, the sea was in front of them, Pharaoh was behind them, and they turned to Moses and said, we left everything. We gave up everything. Yes, we were slaves, but we were alive. We had food on our tables. We lived. Have you brought us here that we may die? He said, just wait. Just wait. Wait and you will see the salvation of the Lord. The salvation he's brought for you today. And sometimes we just need to wait, but wait with confidence. You can turn around and say, well, you know, they were justified in that feeling. Well, really, they probably weren't. They had seen 10 phenomenal plagues. They had seen things they had never experienced before. They had seen the power of God. It wasn't random. One plague, two plagues, three plagues, five plagues, but 10? 10? And the power of Moses? So we don't want to forget what God does for us as we journey. We don't want to leave that behind. We want to carry it with us. We sometimes have no residual memory whatsoever. God does something for me today, and I'm very thankful for it. But then if I want something next week, I forget what happened today. And I doubt. And then a month down the line, I forget those two. And a year, I forget the 10. And I forget, there's no residual memory at all. It's just one day at a time and nothing else. Remember this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So if he is with us, and if he is our refuge, and if we are with him, then who can overcome us? So during this Lent, we want to work towards building and strengthening this relationship. Don't just do it ritually. Don't just do it superficially. Build the relationship. Absorb him. Be saturated by him. Be confident in his presence. And above all, know that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Today, tomorrow, and every day through our journey with him. And glory be to God forever. Amen.